Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Sign up to our loyalty programme and reap the rewards at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Okay, time now for the watch list, our look at the best film and TV releases for the week ahead. And I'm joined today by entertainment journalist and broadcaster Serena Bellissimo and TV and radio producer and Guns N' Roses fan.
What?
Owen Sweeney. Welcome, guys.
How are you doing?
Owen, before we get to mere film and TV, so Guns N' Roses are back on the road again. They have new music coming out next month, and they're coming
sure.
to Dublin in June. It's like Frankenstein or something. He's gonna, but Guns N' Roses are hugely important.
You've obviously heard Chinese
people,
democracy then.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses are hugely important to people all over, particularly guys who grew up in small towns, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Yeah. You could map it very well through Connacht and the border counties. Well, it, you know, corresponds in some ways to country and Irish as well. The heartland might cross over. But yeah, Guns N' Roses, you know, patches on the denim jackets in the 1980s and that heyday. They're all, look at, Iron Maiden were here last year as well. They're all reaching an age now of superannuation, whether they like it or not.
Okay.
And they were living the ultimate kind of never grow old adolescent fantasy of teenage boys in the 1980s in Hollywood, which is long since gone. And the stories would make your hair stand up in a punkish sort of way. They're a weird hybrid of musical influences, though. And their debut album, I think, is still the biggest selling debut album in American history. Do you know Appetite for Destruction? Famously, the cover was banned. They were not a broad-minded church in terms of their feminist credentials, let's be fair. And also, Axl Rose became this totalitarian megalomaniac, and he ended up with the rights to the band name and turning into Elton John, and they all got fed up and left.
So who's in the band now? Is Slash there?
Slash is still there. He looks
ahead at one stage. There was a
now, I have to confess, I did, out of curiosity, go and see them in the Buckethead years in the point when Axl famously stropped off stage, I believe is the technical term, Serena.
Well, he would say he was bottled off stage.
Well, that's true. Well, something flew onto the stage. Okay. And in fairness, but and it was a long time before he came back on. And judging from the vantage point, I was up in the VIP section, Brendan. So I was able to look out the fancy window that, you know, the VIP bar up at the top, and see a certain member of, let's say, the domestic kind of promotional team having strong words and gesticulations with an Axl Rose crouched by the outside wall of the Point Depot. And
of course,
he went back on.
Keep people waiting for 2 or 3 hours.
This is why they fell apart initially. Okay. Like, you know,
he's now Madonna.
He's no. There's a statement
so
now.
Is hashtag Slash,
he's
back.
Madonna. Slash is back. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Right. So
and Duff, Duff,
classic was, Coke. Yeah, Duff McKagan,
yeah. Classic Coke. But poor choice of words, perhaps, in Duff's case.
Okay, yeah.
Whose pancreas famously exploded. And he's now a health freak living back home in Seattle. He was one of the last people to see Kurt Cobain alive, in fact, flying back to Seattle in 1994. He was a punk. Slash was kind of this classic rock fella whose mam designed costumes for David Bowie, and, you know, a mixed race as well. Born in Stoke, in England.
Stoke,
all places, you know, kind of the heartland of Robbie Williams.
Far from LA, he was there.
100%,
Far from the Sunset Strip.
You know, it's Burton beer territory and all that. But anyway, and, you know, so they had this weird mix of people, and then Axl is this Midwest kid who really just wanted to make it in LA, and his ambition just dragged them up from the gutter, basically.
Okay, but look, they have no,
they're back. Tickets
stage,
are 200 or 300 quid, like,
of greatest hits for people of a certain
which
age,
is what they're throwing out relive. Ad infinitum.
Okay, so you get what you want.
You'll get your money's worth
if everyone turns up and on time and stays on stage and everything. Okay.
They're all sober and clean and proper now, allegedly.
All right, Serena, something a bit more family friendly. You brought a panel of children to the cinema to see Zootropolis 2, which is one of the big Christmas releases in cinemas now. What did they make of it?
They absolutely loved it. And, you know, when you see sequels, you're never quite sure, is it going to live up to the first? Because the first was quite good. There's two animals. There's a fox and a bunny, two unlikely heroes, Nick and Judy, who are police officers, and they solve a crime.
I remember this. Yeah,
do you remember?
It was good.
So we start after that, even though there's like been 10 years since the last
one. I know that you're taking the plot so seriously. So the timeline is, in rabbit years.
Yeah. It's next day, isn't
time it? Has not moved on, right? So, but they, and I was weary taking them because it's the same thing, like it's a mad caper type film. And I was like, oh, are they going to love it as much? They all loved it. Two of them gave them 5 stars. One of them, who I absolutely love, he was like, 4.5 because it was just that little bit too long, Serena. And having said that, though, there were characters that I would have liked to have been explored more than other characters. Like, wow, movie Brilliant. Critic on you, mate.
Okay, we get them in next week. That's Metropolis say, 2 in cinemas now. It looks like a winner for kids. Okay, on a different note, Horseshoe, a new Irish film, which is in cinemas from Friday. This sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a novel idea. It's a novel film. I think it did very well at the Galway Film Flat, won the best feature award. It is co-directed by Edwin Milan and Adam O'Keefe. There's lots of Fiche Aaron money in there and the Sligo money, and it is set in the wilds of Ireland. It looks fantastic.
Dysfunctional family stuff, well, this though, is the which thing. We
I mean,
love.
We love, look, in Ireland, we often pat ourselves on the back for how we mourn people and how we ritualise, you know, the bereavement and the death of people, you know, from Ardell's great documentary about the death notices to, the ceremonial waking of the dead. But what is going to bring a family closer together and further apart at the same time than the will and probate? And this is four siblings who have to, basically, they've been set this task by this solicitor reads the will of his late patriarch, who's in no way a cuddly character. And basically, the four siblings have to decide what's going to happen to the family estate, i.e. the house, within 24 hours or everything's given over to the government to dispose of as they
dilemma.
Wish. So, yeah. It's really well acted. So Jed Murray, Neil Fleming, Carolyn Bracken, and Eric O'Brien are the four kids. And basically what you have is four grieving adults behaving like children. People reverting, you know, it's the Christmas dinner table times 10, where people just revert to the roles in the family. And then there's lots of dark humour in this, it has to be said. Now, it does in some ways kind of try and do too much, and you know, as a first feature, but it is really well worth checking out. Looks fantastic, brilliantly well acted. The dad, in a kind of a Brian Friel-esque sort of way, appears to each member of the family and kind of, you know, chides them on. And there's some nice twists in there, but it's just a very involving kind of story. And where do we come from, Brendan? We don't come from a place, we come from our family. And what holds you together when the parents are gone? That's the question.
Okay, Horseshoe Cinemas from Friday. Serena, we'll go to a bit of TV. Tell us about Chris Hemsworth and A Road Trip to Remember on Disney Plus. And we'll start speeding up a bit now.
Yeah, this is one of the most moving, gorgeous documentaries I've seen in a very long time. Okay. It's only 50 minutes long. It's not, Chris Hemsworth got it made because he is Chris Hemsworth, but it is about his father, Craig, who has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and they're trying to figure out the science between connection and Alzheimer's. So, you know, if you bring him back to places where he grew up, will that help his memory? And it is, even just talking about it, Brendan,
yeah,
I'm getting goosebumps.
I'm nearly weeping listening to you. Okay.
It's beautiful. And what's eerie is the father looks very much like Chris Hemsworth does now. It's beautiful.
Okay.
It's on
Chris
Disney
Hemsworth,
Plus.
A Road Trip to Remember. Owen, what is Them's Fighting Words with Roddy Doyle on Wednesday on RT2 at 9:35?
This is my pick of the week. Also, similarly affecting and very heartwarming. It is a little look at kind of a year or the guts of a year of transition year students engaging with the written word and being set the challenge to write their story or write fiction. Fighting Words is this organisation set up by Roddy Doyle and his pal Sean Love, formerly of Amnesty International, to engage young people from disadvantaged areas. It's very much set in Dublin 1. There's a very funny bit where they talk about, and we're always lionising our literary lineage, but they're talking about Dublin 1 and the inner city, the north inner city, being Sean O'Casey and Brendan Behan territory, and they try and set up this location, and the ESB won't reconnect them to the grid because they're trying to clear the debts owed by a Mr. Behan, who they're desperately trying to get in touch with without realising it's the late author and poet and playwright. But anyway, it's a fantastic, Cailleachta Owen in Fingless provide the students. You will warm to each of the stories and you will them to finish the project, which is to write their own little stories, and they're compiled in a book. And Roddy Doyle and the volunteers, they just engage you well.
Roddy Doyle is just great.
But he doesn't do stuff if he doesn't want to. Yeah, do you know what I mean? And he's not performing for the camera, and he's wonderfully sincere in dealing with the dialogue with the kids and that.
Dennis Fighting Words of Roddy Doyle.
It's just a vocation to
Wednesday, RT2, 9:35. Okay. Serena, Jay Kelly is coming to Netflix on Friday after, I would call it, a muted run at the cinema. It's the new George Clooney vehicle. It looks like it should be great, but people are...
Well, do you know, it's getting... Rotten Tomatoes have given 79% to the critics, 67% audiences. Okay, I'm turning to Rotten Tomatoes because I haven't seen this yet. I cannot wait to see it. The reason why it had a muted response at the cinema, Brendan, is people know that this was only put in cinemas so it could be nominated for an Oscar.
Okay.
Right? So we are waiting the 2 weeks to see it. I just watched the trailer again and I started crying. Basically, is it George Clooney? Yeah, is it George Clooney playing himself? His daughter moves out, is about to move out, and he's like, wow, life has gone quickly. What is my life? Have I made the right decisions? Then him and his manager...
He's a big Hollywood star.
Yeah, sorry, forgot that really important bit. Him and his manager go on a tour of Europe and all these questions come about. It's got an amazing cast. We've got Laura Dern, Billy Crudup, Riley Keough, our very own Eve Hewson's in it, Greta Gerwig, directed by Noah Baumbach. Yeah. I cannot wait to see this on Friday. It looks spectacular.
Okay, that's Jay Kelly on Netflix on Friday. Owen, keep this brief now. The Beatles anthology on BBC, Disney Plus.
They're a band.
Have we not seen this?
We have. This is 1995. Look, the only real hook in this, Brendan, is what would have been the DVD extra. And it reminds me that nowadays we don't have DVD extras. You know, that little added content because everything's streaming and it's finite and it's boxed up nicely.
So they found a bit more footage.
They found a bit more. They scraped the bin. But what was interesting, look, it wasn't that interesting then, you know, George Paul and the other fella.
Ringo,
that's the fella, the drummer, hanging out, you know, the Treatles recording the stuff. Those songs didn't matter. The fact they were getting together didn't really matter either. It's the height of Britpop. But what really it was interesting was their interactions with each other.
Four guys in the room.
Yeah. You know, and that's what's interesting. And kind of, you know, the barely disguised antipathy. George is only doing it because he's on his uppers because Handmade Films has gone bankrupt. Paul really wants to do it because he's Mr. Beatles' legacy. And Ringo just goes along with everything. There's a wonderful quote, that's all I'll say about it, is George quips, oh, myself and Paul are going out into stadiums next year. And Paul, the other side, with Ringo in between, says, oh yeah, we're going to go mud wrestling. And Ringo in between goes, yeah, I'll be the referee. And that's basically the roles.
Okay,
so
if people haven't seen this, like it is...
Watch episode 9, certainly.
Watch episode 9.
The other is History by Committee. Yeah.
Serena, English teacher, is back for season 2 on Disney Plus. I love this.
It's so good. Basically, it's written by Brian Jordan Alvarez. He plays an English teacher in a US high school, and it's a high school comedy, but it's all about the teachers' lives. He's a tryhard who tries too hard to make everyone's life better, but when he gets involved, he's always messing it up. This is fabulous comedy. I cannot believe All's Fair got renewed and this didn't get a renewal.
Oh, so this is the last season?
This is the last season. There's only 2 seasons.
Oh, well, listen, everyone should check it out, shouldn't they?
Yeah.
And the culture war is all in there and everything.
Like,
it's fantastic.
Brilliant.
That's The English Teacher and season 1 and 2 are on Disney Plus now. Owen, you're determined to talk about the FIFA World Cup 2026 draw, 5 p.m. on Friday.
48 teams,
I know you
Brendan.
Could get the history
48
of the world,
teams.
But you have 45 seconds.
Okay, there's 48 teams. That's all you need to know. It's going to go on forever. Issue? That's it. We're not in there yet. But look at Cristiano Ronaldo went to the White House with Gianni Infantino, Donald Trump's best friend and head of FIFA. And what happened? Surprise, his mandatory 3-match ban was overturned so he can play in the first 2 matches of Portugal's World Cup next year. So Heimer Hallgrimsson needs to be given the bowl of shamrock so he can present it to Donald Trump and we can get a bye, not have to do the 2 playoffs,
you know,
and get into pot 4.
You know what the Oscars, what they do to shut someone up? They start playing this.
Pipe them
off,
John.
Thank you very much, Serena Bellissimo and Owen Sweeney. That's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE radio app or wherever you get your podcast. Today's show was produced by Siobhan Hogan. The series producer is Tessa Delahanty. I'm racing against time now. Research was by Katrina McFadden. Senan Cullinan was the broadcast coordinator. Mark McGrath was on sound. Stay tuned for This Week with Jackie Fox.
Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.